it's easy to go on stage and talk for an hour, right? But if you only have 3 minutes, you got to take all that information and give it to them, but also leave them wanting more.
This podcast, Business Strategy, is about the lessons I learned while building Cultivar.com and turning around and growing million and billion dollar companies. My hope is that you use these strategies to grow your business and someday soon partner with us to build a more profitable and iconic company. Please share and enjoy.
Hey, Akeem, it's so great to have you on the show because in my other podcast called Boosting Your Financial IQ, and when I'm teaching organizations about strategy or just business finance, I'm constantly driving home this whole point of it's not just about the numbers, it's about the story behind the numbers. Like you can look at an income statement, a balance sheet, a statement of cash flows, and just see a bunch of numbers. And maybe you can interpret it. Maybe you're like, okay, that's revenue, that's cost of goods sold, I get that. But if you can't look at those numbers and see the story, like a sheet of music for like a composer or a musician, then you're just missing out. So I love how you're a storyteller and I have so many questions for you. So I'm ready to hop in.
Yeah, man. Listen, thanks for having me on the show. You know, honestly, I learned to storytell because my numbers weren't good. So I had to have a good story, at least in the beginning, in order to kind of kick things off.
And I mean, that's how you were successful with Flipstick. Maybe you could talk a little bit about Flipstick and the journey. And I'm sure you struggled at the beginning because like I've launched a lot of products. And if I don't get the story, the branding right, then it could be a complete flop. And when you get the story right and it's compelling and it really resonates with your ideal customer profile, it makes all the difference in the world. So let's hear your story on Flipstick and how you got it to Shark Tank and you're selling it to Snoop Dogg and other people like that. So it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, man. You know, for me, it all started. I had dropped out of college, got into corporate America, got into sales, and I became a pretty good sales rep, right? You know, I was one of the top sales reps at not one, but two Fortune 500 companies. But, you know, eventually I just wasn't fulfilled anymore, like a lot of entrepreneurs, right? I just wanted to go out, do my own thing. And so I quit my job. And when I quit, I get this book from my boss and he tells me, look, don't go out and be a bum. I want you to like keep going and make something of yourself. And so this book was called The Alchemist. And I wish I could have just read the book when he first gave it to me. But eventually this book chases me down. I see this book all over the place. And finally, I sit down, read it cover to cover. And it shows me the possibilities when your mindset is in a frame where it's like, hey, there's opportunity out here for me to find my treasure, to find my purpose, as long as I pay attention to see the signs, or as the book puts it, omens. And so it was with that mindset that I have a late night phone call with my uncle, who's an engineer at NASA. And he tells me about this project he was working on for the space launch system, how he's going to use wiring and put it behind paneling. And this adhesive was based off the feet of geckos and invented in the 80s. And since I had recently mounted my TV on the wall, I'm like, man, if I had this, you know, magic gecko adhesive, I could have just stuck my TV on the wall instead of trying to figure out how to mount it for 2 weeks. And that's where the idea ultimately that Flipstick was born. You know, I didn't ever mount a TV on the wall, but I did figure out a way to mount a little tiny TV on the wall. And that's how we came up with Flipstick. So it's a little device that goes on the back of your phone, allows you to stick or mount your phone to any flat surface, and allows you to take TikTok videos hands-free, FaceTime calls hands-free, all that kind of good stuff. And we really got lucky with it because we came out with this product right at the same time that TikTok became the number one app in the App Store. And so while I thought our customers were going to use the product to watch content hands-free, they were actually using the product to create content hands-free. And it just got crazier from there.
So when you went on Shark Tank, I'm sure like in advance of being on TV, they prepped you and they're like, okay, you have to, you know, have this compelling pitch or whatever. I mean, maybe there's no prep at all. Maybe you just walk.
No, there's lots of prep.
And I'm sure like nailing your story is so critical. I always joke around with my clients. It's like, hey, sorry, I wrote you such a long email. If I had more time, it would have been shorter. And I think the same thing is true with the presentation. If I have an hour to do a keynote, it's like, I'm ready to go right now. I'll stand on stage. I'll talk about strategy, competitive advantage, all that stuff. But if you say, Steve, you need to get in front of an executive team or the board of directors, and you have 3 minutes to do your pitch, I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to like nail this story. So when you went on TV on Shark Tank, you know, were you a good storyteller at the time? Or do you look back on those days and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, that's terrible. What are your thoughts on that?
So here's the funny thing. Not only did I not have my story down, I didn't actually get on Shark Tank the first time. I got rejected from the show because, see, I went on the show. I was less than a year in my business, but we had some real traction. And so I go, I'm spitting the numbers and we've done this and we're making this much. And here's what we're doing. And 40,000 people apply to Shark Tank every year. We got past 40,000, down to the final 1,000, down to the final 250, but they had to get it down to 120 people to go to air each year. And that's where we got cut. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out what was it? What was I missing? And the thing that I was missing was the story. It was just a product. It was a product, seemed like a decent idea, seemed pretty cool. Some people were buying it, but at the end of the day, it was just a product and it wasn't a story. And when you're going on television, the first thing they're trying to do is tell stories more than anything else. And so I had to go find a story because I didn't have one. Other than the story of how I created the company, there was no other story. And so when I found out, and I'm going to tell you the story of how I got to Shark Tank, because that's the story I then told that got me on the show. But when I ended up not making it on the first time, I was like, all right, look, I got to go find another celebrity investor to invest in my business. And so through just a crazy set of circumstances, bouncing from the Super Bowl to the BET Awards in LA and just all over the place, I find out that there's this event coming up called the Revolt Summit. And it was going to be a music industry summit, and they were going to be giving away a record deal at this event. And so this big billionaire rapper celebrity was going to be like the person running this whole thing. So I'm like, I got to go. I got to pitch my business. There's going to be a pitch competition. And so I booked my ticket and turns out pitch competition's close. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do now? I said, you know, I took Mr. Karpowitz's jazz lab band class. So I guess I'll just be writing a rap and I will be entering the music competition to rap the pitch for my business to this billionaire rapper celebrity. And so I go to Atlanta armed with this crazy plan. I rap, I get to the top five, and then I get disqualified for not being a real rapper. And so as I'm sitting there sulking, waiting for the final competition to start, there's a comedy show, and just something inside of me said, just stand up. So I stand up, I hold my products in the air. The comedian looks at me. He's like, bro, what are you doing? You're interrupting my show. And eventually, after back and forth, and he's cracking jokes about my product, he lets me on the stage. I perform my rap during his comedy set. And the crowd is just going crazy. They're laughing. And the same people that disqualified me from this competition ended up taking me backstage, introducing me to all the celebrities there. They would eventually fly me out to L.A., introduced me to Snoop Dogg out in LA, and ultimately they made the phone call to Shark Tank and were like, look, you got to have this guy on the show. So the next time I came around, Shark Tank called me to audition. And when they called me to audition, it was actually one of the judges from that pitch competition in Atlanta that I'd never pitched for. But he turned out to be a casting director. And so he's like, listen, when you pitch your product, I want you to tell them the whole story. Some of your listeners may notice I didn't mention the celebrity name. That's because it's one Sean Diddy Combs. So for those who haven't watched the news, Homeland Security recently raided his house. So it's a little sketchy now. But yeah. When I was working with him, I didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. But, and okay, so let me ask you this, Akeem, because you're very animated. You got this great personality. You can tell a story, but I'm sure some people are listening and like, hey, look, I'm just a CEO. Maybe I'm a little introverted. You know, I don't have like this gift of gab. Do you think anybody can tell stories? Like, is it a skill that you can learn, or is it best left to certain people with certain personalities?
So, you know, look, there's no doubt there is an inherent advantage when you're able to talk, you have a sales background, you have a bubbly personality. That being said, everyone has a story. And I think that a lot of times, especially if you have a small to medium sized business, you tend to steer away from your personal story because you don't want to feel so small. You want to be big, right? You want to give the appearance that we're very professional. We have employees. But what I found is that, look, at the end of the day, you're working with people. And if you go in and you tell the authentic story of why is it you do what you do? Why haven't you given up? Why haven't you gone and done something else? Why did you get started? And most importantly, what's happened to your customers that you've helped during this time period where you've had this business? When you really dive in and you're just as authentic as possible, anyone can tell a great story. I often equate it to a movie trailer. You know, oftentimes you go see a movie, it's 2.5 hours long, it's never as good as the trailer, but the trailer manages to take the entire movie, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the crying, the laughing, and squeeze it down into 2.5 minutes. And you said it perfectly, Steve, earlier. It's easy to go on stage and talk for an hour, right? But if you only have 3 minutes, you got to take all that information and give it to them, but also leave them wanting more. And so through the power of just three stories, that's what we learned for our organization. And as I started telling these three different types of stories, we were just able to get so many customers and partners and distributors and people on board.
Okay. And I want to hear about these three stories, but let me ask you this first. You know, Simon Sinek, he has the popular TED Talk YouTube video, Start With Why, you know, and he has a circle, and at the center of the circle is why, and outside is how and what. And he's like, most organizations start with like, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it, this is why, versus going the opposite route. And I think a lot of leaders, like, that really resonates with them. And so when I'm working with these CEOs and these founders and their teams, you know, part of my like strategic blueprint process is, okay, we're going to start with purpose, we're going to get into principles, and we're going to start getting into the heart of strategy. Like, here's your strategic problem. This is, you know, your aspiration. This is where you're going to compete, how you're going to compete, and how you're going to win, and all the this other stuff that goes into strategy. But we do start with purpose. But here's the thing, Akeem, you know, so many teams, they can get caught up on like that purpose phase. Like, one time I went into an organization and I had a 2-day workshop scheduled with them. We spent the entire day talking about purpose. And like at the end of the day, people are like, oh, I'm just, you know, throwing their arms up, and they're just like, screw this. And like, there's like infighting and all this stuff because they're trying to decide whether they should say this or that. And so my question to you is, do you think companies can go too far into that whole like start with why and begin with why and like what's the deeper meaning in your business? Because some businesses like, I just started the company because my boss was a jerk and I left and I wanted to be my own boss. I didn't know it was going to blow up into this thing. I mean, some people do that, right? But what are your thoughts on that? Is the whole purpose, begin with why, the fluffy stuff, is that overplayed or is that like essential in storytelling? And does that tie into your three things?
You know, I think at least for me, it can be. Like, sometimes people are trying to, you know, have some philosophical meaning of why you're making potato chips. And let's be, come on, you know what I'm saying? Like that, there's nothing there, okay? Like salt, oil, sugar, starch, done. Like, so I do think it can be taken too far. However, when you're on the smaller side, when you're big, it changes. But when you're just starting out, your goal is how do I bring people within the sphere of influence of my organization, whether that be team members, whether it be investors, distributors, partnerships, our customers. And so when you talk about the why, it has to really resonate with all of those different people to say, yeah, this person, this is what they were meant to be doing. This is what this organization is meant to be here. And that can be very, very simple, and it doesn't always have to be altruistic. I was recently working with a client, and he has a spirit brand, and the spirit brand uses an expletive in its name, right? And he wanted it to be about, you know, working hard and believing in yourself and being an entrepreneur and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, dude, you got an expletive in the name for your spirits. Go with it. Run with it. Like, sometimes at the end of the day, people just need a blinking drink. And so just run with that. It works. And it'll work for the demographic that you're after. It's like, but I think that sometimes we can get a little bit carried away. But whenever I'm looking at these statements, it's always how are we bringing people in? Not how we're just, you know, painting some pie in the sky. It's always about closing, whether it be customers or investors or whatever. So it's always about closing. And so I think you can kind of skip some of the fluff when that's your focus.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to piggyback on what you were just talking about, it's got to be authentic, right? I mean, I don't cuss, I don't use swear words. So like if I put, you know, effing consulting in my name, you know,
yeah, no,
like, what? That's not even Steve. But I'm like, oh, that's what everybody's doing. So yeah, that's where you can't like copy other people's strategies or methodologies, especially with like AI. You know, you can't just go in there and be like, all right,
I'm gonna right, ask AI.
You know,
give me a purpose.
It's authentic, it's gotta be real, right? So, okay, 100%. Let's get into what are the three stories to scale your business to seven figures and beyond?
Yeah. So for me, it's how you got started, what's your mission, and the story of your customers. And the most powerful is the story of your customers. And I think that oftentimes within organizations, we come up sometimes with case studies and, you know, we'll have referrals, but it's not a story, right? You like, just because you have a customer and something happened with them, it's not actually a story until you turn it into one. And that's why I think that power of the movie trailer is so powerful, because if you tell the story in that way, people come on board. And one of the companies that's just so masterful at this is Apple. You see Apple just create these stories. Sometimes they're true, sometimes they're not. But they create these stories around their customers that people resonate with. I was looking at an ad, and I didn't even realize it was an Apple ad at first. And it was this guy that's really funny, and his phone is singing him. He's going through trying to decide what photos he's going to delete. And the photos are singing to him like, you know, don't let me go. Don't let me go. And think about how many of us, that was us, right? You're looking at the photos, you're low on storage, you don't want to delete it. So what do? You sign up for the 99-cent cloud storage that Apple's pushing on you. But like, right. That's a brilliant way to tell a story versus saying like, hey, 99 cents gets you 1 gigabyte of storage. They didn't mention anything. They didn't mention the product, how much it cost, what it was going to do for you. All they did was tell a story of a customer that millions of other customers can identify with. And all of a sudden, we're all signing up for that $1.99 iCloud storage.
I love that. Okay, so let's break this down, Akeem. How you got started. So talk to me about the elements that go into that. I mean, what are you talking about specifically here?
Yeah, so in the startup world, which is kind of the world I came up through, we always talk about what's your unfair advantage. You know, what is it that you have over someone else that even if they wanted to start today, they just can't beat you because of X? And so when I think about, you know, that why, you know, or why you got started, it really is what's going to give you your unfair advantage. So, you know, I was working with a client who created a new type of stethoscope for doctors. And I was asking him, you know, why did you get started? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I wanted a more compact stethoscope because I was a nurse. And I said, okay. I said, take me to the moment when you said, I'm going to create a new stethoscope. Like, take me to that moment. Then instead of it being like, oh, I wanted a compact stethoscope for doctors, it was, well, I was in the ER and my coworker fell on the ground and her stethoscope nearly strangled her. And I said, oh, it has to be another way. Hmm. And when he said that, I was like, bro, that's a story. That's the story of the moment that said, I have to do something. I can do something better. And so I think oftentimes we think of like that story while we got started. Sometimes it's just very straightforward. And no, we need a little bit of flair because there was some moment that happened. And generally when we're trying to create stories, I like to talk about what were the moment, like the moment you felt the way, what are the feelings that you had, the emotions that you carry, because those are the things that really kind of draw people in to your story versus just I thought it was going to be a good idea. There's always something more.
Yeah. Okay, so you're the expert on this. So congratulations, you get to give me some live consulting on the air here.
Okay, that works. This?
Okay, so this is Cultivar. This is a story that I tell people, and then you get to just give me like honest feedback, and you can embarrass me online, whatever, right? You can say whatever. You can say, Steve, that's the worst story I've ever heard in my life. Okay,
so I actually do this all the time in my keynotes. I bring people on stage and I make them tell it, so this is perfect.
Because I want the audience to like hear this and to understand what we're talking about here specifically. So with Cultivar, here's the thing. Back in the day, 2009, around that time, I was working in public accounting. I'm working with these firms. One firm specifically is a big financial services company. You know, they're doing over $1 billion a year in revenue. I look at their strategy. Like I hear talks of their strategy. We have their strategy documents. You hear leadership talking about their strategy. And it's all like mission, vision, values, you know, we're going to be the best company, integrity, quality service, all that stuff. Right. And then it has like, okay, here are initiatives that we're going to do over the quarter. Okay. Now go over to the finance department. They're building these budgets, these elaborate budgets, Akeem. I mean, it's like going to column like ZZA, right? And like all these rows, all this data, and it's like, here's our budget. And like, they're plugging in the numbers and like, this is how we're going to get to, you know, 1 billion to 1.1 billion. It's going to be amazing. And last year we had X amount of profit, but we're going to double that profit just because we put it on a spreadsheet. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, there's this massive disconnect between strategy and finance. Companies have strategy, but then they don't tie in the economic reality. Or you have a budget, you think that's a strategy, but it's not a strategy, and you're trying to maximize profit, and that doesn't work either. And I was like, there's this massive gap between strategy and finance. That's when the light bulb came on. That was my moment. What did I feel? Like, I got excited because I'm like, okay, nobody's talking about this stuff. I left and I started Cultivar. Okay, if I told you that is my story, now tell me what you think. Is that a good story? Is that not emotional enough? Should I tie some more tears into it? Or like, give me some feedback here.
So I thought it was pretty good. Okay. Yeah. You did kind of set it up for what was the light bulb. Yeah. However, here's what was missing for me. As you were talking about it, as you ended it, I still wasn't sure what you were going to offer, what you had to offer that was going to be different. I'm assuming that you are the bridge between the mission and the money, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're connecting those two so they're actually on the same page versus it sounds like within these large organizations, you got the CEO leading the mission over here and it just is all just theoretical nonsense. And then you have the CFO over here and he's like, okay, here are the numbers that are going to work, but no one's talking to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so I would have liked to see at the end a little bit more to say it with one sentence. Here's how I come into an organization and here's how I bridge the gap. So let me, and I also would have liked it to be about half the length, but tell me just live for that last sentence piece of when you come into an organization and make that difference and bridge that gap, how would you say that in one sentence of what you're offering, what that light bulb was that you said they needed?
Yeah. I think, you know, what I do is I go into an organization, put in place a strategy blueprint, then I have the software so companies could measure and manage performance, and tying those two things together, the strategy, the financial measurement into a system, like a system of creating strategies and executing to drive results that's the whole process. That's like a run-on sentence there. That wasn't a sentence, but
that's okay. That's okay. It's getting closer because I think that one of the things that we always need with a story is a closing statement that kind of brings it all the way back around for us. And I would probably have to ask you a few more questions about the business to give you like a really solid, quick, like hard hitting story, but I'll give you one. This is how I would do it. I'm going to make up some stuff because I don't know the whole business, but this is how I would do it. Yep. Right. I'd say, look, in 2009, I was working with a Fortune 500 company, $3 billion in revenue. On one side of the business, they were talking about how much integrity and customers and emotion and passion was going to drive their business and how they were going to create incredible products to meet the needs of their customers. But there were no numbers. On the other side of the business, they talked all numbers. They didn't know what products were going to be making, what passion was going to be introduced, what integrity was going to be used. They just put numbers on paper to say, we're going to have 10% growth because that's what the other side wanted to hear. What I realized was that these two strategies were not connected. They actually had nothing to do with each other. And then if you chose one strategy over the other, you wouldn't meet the goals of the other organization. And that's when a light bulb went off. I said, what if the numbers, what if the money matches the mission? And that's when I founded Cultivar. At Cultivar, we take your mission and your money and we put them together. We give you a system that will allow you to achieve your goals while also ensuring that the finances are there to match. And something, something, something. Dang, so that's how I would probably frame it to really just squeeze it down tight. But if I had a little bit more time and learned a little bit more about your business, probably be a little stronger.
No, that was amazing. And like, I can see the value and the listeners, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're like, okay, yes, I can see the power in that because for me, just hearing you say it, It's like, yeah, I'm getting excited because those emotions are flooding back into me. And it goes back into that authenticity. If I'm in front of a client, like I hate selling. I don't sell. I just, you know, I try to tell my story. Now you gave me a better story to tell. And then customers latch onto that and then it sells itself. So I love that. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to part two because you did an awesome job with part one. Let's move on to part two. What's story number two? Rehash that again and let's put a real life application to it.
Yeah, so story number two is your mission. And so that's really getting into the nitty-gritty of the product or service that you have to offer and why that offer is important. And you know, you talked earlier about the mission of some of these companies is very like pie in the sky. No, this is really getting to like, here's what we do. And I think a lot of organizations are really good at telling people that, but sometimes it doesn't have, you know, that little bit of pizzazz on it when they're actually saying it or they're putting together a video presentation or whatever have you. And I'll give you just an example for us and what really made a difference within our organization. We started going to these big retailers and we were still pretty small and we wanted to get them on board. And so what we told them was like, look, you know, we existed to make it easy for people to watch Netflix, but we were wrong. What we realize is there are 3 billion casual content creators that exist across the planet. Casual content creator means they're not creating content for friends and family. They're creating it for strangers. But these 3 billion casual creators, they're not going to go out and buy a tripod and a whole bunch of equipment and a ring light. They're not going to do that because they don't make the content regularly enough. But they are willing to spend $20 or less on something that will allow them to make their casual content just a little bit easier. It just so happens that these same customers are the Gen Z customers that aren't coming into your stores. We can drive them there with our product Flipstick. It's the only product on the market designed for the back of the phone that enables casual content creators to capture content wherever they are, anytime, at an affordable price. So when we came in and tell them that story, it's like, oh, wow, you know, we are missing these customers. And this is something that's important because I'm a casual content creator. I make a piece of content every once in a while. I like to hop on a trend. And so throughout all these stories, one of the threads that you'll see and one of the principles of the framework that I often teach is you want that what if button to go off. You want the what if button to go off for you personally. Like what if, you know, we lived up to these stories that we tell? What if we weren't doing this? What would that mean? What happens if we are doing these things that we say? But more importantly, you want your customers to ask, what if? Whether it's the story of your family, like, man, what if he'd help me? What if I were the customer? And as those what ifs start going off in their heads, now they're getting drawn in to what it is that you have to offer. And the biggest thing here is, look, you're not trying to trick anyone into sales or into investment or anything like that. All you're trying to do is say, hey, take down your guard and just listen. Just listen to what it is I have to say. Because oftentimes when we're speaking to people, whether it's customers on TikTok or Instagram, or it's, you know, potential partners in a meeting, their guard is up and they're not really listening and taking in what it is you're trying to say. So it's a no before you've ever even gotten a chance to explain yourself. And when you start to use storytelling, it really like breaks down those barriers so that people's guard isn't up, you know, so strong. So they're just a no without even listening to what it is you have to say.
Yeah. Versus like contrasting that with, you know, hey, here's Flipstick. You know, it's 3.5 inches by 24 centimeters, weighs 1.6 ounces. It comes in black, red, and gray. You know, like getting into the specs.
Yeah, you can stick it. It holds for 30 seconds. And to be honest, I used to do that. Like that was what I used to do. And I realized it didn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Okay. We were short on time. We got 5 minutes left. So I want to get into the last story because putting the customer at the center of a strategy is so critical. That's what I'm always teaching my clients. Oftentimes they'll build these elaborate strategies. I'll read through the deck and I'm like, okay, number one, you have like 50 slides, you know, on your strategy. It's like way too much. Number two, where's the customer? If I hit like control F to like find the word customer, I find it like 2 times in your document. Like your strategy is all about the customer. So I'm really excited about this. Akeem, tell me about this last story with the customers. I know you already alluded to it with the Apple example, but give me more on this.
Yeah. So look, customers are king. And this is no matter who you're selling to, right? Whether you're trying to attract top talent for your organization, you know, you're trying to create Instagram, you know, and Facebook, TikTok ads, you know, you're trying to get partners on board. It doesn't matter. Like, customers are always the key to the best stories. And the only way you learn those is you got to go ask your customers. You have to seek these stories out from your customers and they'll tell you. And so I'll give you a couple of ours. My marketing guy came to me one time. He's like, Hakeem, you got to see this kid. He's, you know, making, he's just driving a ton of revenue. And so we had a influencer program. He had signed up. And it turns out that this customer was deaf. He spoke American Sign Language. And, you know, I just assumed, I didn't know anything about sign language. I'm like, hey, if you can't hear, you probably text. Problem solved back in 1998. No problem. Well, I was wrong, because just like you and I are talking face to face and you can see my emotion and my expression, that doesn't come through via text. And the same thing goes for American Sign Language. You want to be able to sign. You want people to be able to like see your emotions and the sounds you make and the movements. And so he was promoting Flipstick as an item you could buy, so you could take your phone, stick it to a surface, and be able to FaceTime with both hands, which you normally wouldn't be able to do. You'd be able to FaceTime with both hands and actually communicate with the person on the other end of the FaceTime call. And when I tell you, people in the ASL community were buying Flipsticks like crazy, it was unbelievable. But here's where the real magic happened. We asked him, could we use his story? And we started telling that story to distributors. We started telling that story on TikTok and Facebook ads. And here's the thing, even for customers who weren't speaking American Sign Language, just by seeing the ingenuity of what the product could be for someone, they're like, man, what happens when I give it to my teenager? Or what happens when I have it? What will I use it for? When we told it to investors, they were like, wow, this product isn't just for kids on TikTok. It could be for anybody. And so when we started pulling those stories in, man, it just really accelerated the business in a way that we couldn't imagine. And so for everyone, I always say, look, go to your customers and ask them, how has your life or your business changed in a small way or in a large way because of our product or service? And they'll tell you. And when you gather those stories together, man, you'll be shocked at some of the crazy stories. I had this one guy came up to me. I was at an event. And he's like, man, I have to talk to you. He's like, I've been thinking about you for like 2 years. I was like, that's kind of weird, but okay. And he's like, he's like, I bought a Flipstick from you way back in the day. We had mall kiosk. And during the pandemic, my wife was giving birth. We had no family. I wanted to record it so we could show our family. But my wife was, she was in pain. She wanted me to hold her hand. She wanted me right there next to her. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to record this. And then I remember this annoying kid in the mall who made me buy this product that I haven't used on the back of my phone. And he took the product, he stuck it to the wall, he recorded the entire birthing process. And he's like, every time I watch the birth of my firstborn child, I think of you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of strange, you know. But it was one of those things where I was like, holy crap, I never would have imagined that when I created this product, it would impact someone's life in that way. That guy didn't even like or use the product really. But in that moment, it was exactly what he needed. And so when we took that story, we never really put his story on social media, but we told it to, you know, investors, and we told it to distributors and partners. When we told him that, it was like, wow, you know, this is one of those things where it's just it's a convenience factor that you don't get with the other products on the market. And so, you know, I'm very fortunate that a lot of these stories we found and we weren't seeking them out. And I've had a lot of customers reach out to us and tell us, you know, how they were at Machu Picchu and took a family photo and stuck it to the monument. And I'm like, I don't know if that's against, you know, like UNESCO world rules, but, you know, it's like people tell us these great stories, but we use them. And I think that that's critical within any organization.
I love that. Hakeem, that was a great story. I thought you were going to say, then he took the video and he posted it on YouTube. I'm like, dang, his wife's going to kill this guy.
No, that dude's written out. No. I've not seen that video.
Yeah, just a disclaimer there. No, this has been extremely powerful. You know, just illustrating and like doing it in real time. I mean, I can see the value that you bring to organizations when you can help them to tell their stories. And like, think about this as a listener, like if you could take a strategy and you could put it into a story and communicate it to your team, like how much more compelling is it going to be? How much more buy-in? Or if you're going to take your business model and go raise capital, you have a few minutes with an investor to try to capture their attention and tell your story so they write you a check, right? So there's so 100%. Many different applications, whether you're doing an interview, hiring an employee, whether you're trying to motivate your team, whether you're, you know, pitching your company, whatever it may be, stories make all the difference in the world. And hopefully you've been able to see that here with Akeem today. So Akeem, thank you so much for being on the show. I really enjoyed today's podcast.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me. This was great. Yes, great questions. I love that you actually made me do it live. No one on podcast ever asked me to do that. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem. So if you're listening to this and you want to connect with Akeem, and you should definitely check him out and learn more about what he's up to, if you go to BYFIQ.com, which stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ, under the guest page, I'm going to have a guest page for Akeem Shannon. All right, look him up. Like I said, I'll have his bio. I'll have his beautiful headshot there that's glowing and gleaming with everything else. All the links that you need to connect with Akeem, because you know this, it would make all the difference in the world in your organization. So Akeem, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. All right. Cheers, everybody. Till next episode. Take care of yourself.
Hey, real quick. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have business questions and you want to be featured on this podcast, send me an email at contact@cultivar.com and either type out your question or send a video or voice recording stating your name, your location, and what's on your mind. If you want to increase your financial intelligence, be sure to check out my other podcast called Boosting Your Financial IQ. All right, you have new knowledge. Go out there and execute. And until next time, cheers.